All right, glad to have Brother Russell with us. His family is back for a brief furlough, and we admire him. Why don't you start coming up, Brother Russell? We appreciate him. And around here, we appreciate missionaries, and they're our heroes, and he's doing a great, great work. He's going to give us an update, and he's going to preach for us. And so why don't we give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome as he comes.
Well, I really appreciated the atmosphere of the service tonight, really focusing our attention on the Lord. And Brother Rao, I don't know what to say. I mean, you keep on practicing. Keep on practicing. Where's Brother Rao? Okay. Anyways, keep on practicing. But just lovely to be here tonight. Thank you so much. We're going to show a brief video of the last few years in New Guinea. And we feel very endeared when we're here. Thank you so much for taking loving care of our children that have gone to school here. And you've loved them and appreciate them, and that's special to us. And you'll see in the video a little bit why again, but we sure do appreciate you, and thank you for your watch care. Before I show the video, I don't know if I've done this before, but I'd like to maybe remind you, why do missionaries show videos? I want you to help me remind us. If everybody could put your right hand up like you're in court, going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Everybody got it? I'm watching everybody now. Be honest now. All right, now put your finger like that, like you're saying A-OK. Let me hear you say A-OK. A-OK. Okay, now, why do missionaries show videos? This is why. Now, everybody put this shape on your chin. Now, how many put it on your chin? Woo! People are more apt to do what they see than what they hear. Huh? How's that? Did you get it already? I said chin, and you put it on your cheek. All right, never mind. A little slow around here. I watched your morning service today, so I know your pastor kind of abuses you, so I just trying to be abusive a little bit. You feel good? Okay, feel home? Okay. Well, let's go to New Guinea for a few minutes, and it's going to go fast, so you're going to have to pay attention. But on our display in the back, there's a what do you call that thing, a banner with QR codes and things like that. If you missed it, then you can go snap your phone on that QR code. Those things are so neat, huh? You don't have to type in addresses anymore. Just, there you are. All right, thank you so much. Let's go to New Guinea for a few minutes.
My name is Jason Russell. I represent our family, the Russell family. We're missionaries in Papua New Guinea. We arrived in Papua New Guinea in June of 2000. As soon as we could, we went to the Western Province to begin our work on the island of Daru. God has blessed our work with a Bible school program, with a radio ministry, with many people called and ordained into the ministry. God has allowed us to have a drilling ministry we called Baptist Drillers. Several of our Bible school students have gone through the program and have worked with me on the drilling machine, on the sawmill machine, building churches, building pastors' houses, and God has blessed over these years. As we're able to preach in villages and young men get saved, they have this desire, natural desire, to reach their own people. We do this intensive discipleship and training. We've been able to see many churches started. We have a church in Yamega, one in Rua, one in Wien, another one in Parare, another one on the island of Parama, another one beginning in Milbie, another one in Boze village, another one in Waidoro. We have two churches now on the island of Daru, the main church where we began, but also a church plant on the other side of the island. One of our graduates has started a church there. The Genesis Family Baptist Church of Kondobo Village was begun by one of their own men who got saved in the capital. And in 2022, we went to that village and began to mill timber and to build a brand new church building for them. 63 miles of driving through the bush, cutting trees off the road, building bridges so we can get across to the other side. I had designed a building, they're building a computer program. And so we milled the timber and we had no power tools. Everything was handsaw or chainsaw. You know, we were going to plant the post, and I said, is there going to be any, like, groundbreaking? And they didn't know what a groundbreaking was, so I began to describe a groundbreaking. They began to move quickly and put flowers together and coconut leaves that when we cut the ribbon, they would spring out and flowers flew everywhere. And these people just work so hard, such wonderful people in the village of Condobolt. We're also able to go to Condobolt and drill 2 water bores for this community. I love these people so dearly and so happy for them. When we first moved to the bush in 2005, I had visited the bush, walked different places to get to villages, but we'd never lived there permanently. And as a result of living there, we realized the dry seasons are very long. We needed water. And so as a result of that, I began to research how to drill and bought a small drilling machine. And then that led us to buying a bigger industrial one for others. We formed a small business called Baptist Drillers. One, I'm able to employ our Bible school students. We're able to teach them a trade. But also, the door has been thrown wide open for us to come to any village at any time. In 2024, Baptist Drillers was able to drill in about 25 different communities, over 30 water bores we drilled. Some of the villages we went to, they were just so ecstatic for us to come. And they put on a big celebration, and they were just praying that we'd find water for them. And I always tell the villages, when we drill, I don't make water. God has to provide it. The men and I, we just continued drilling in the rain. This water bore produced almost 3 gallons a second. And they didn't know what was happening, but I was just rejoicing, and they saw me rejoicing, and they began to rejoice all over again. Villages are now asking us to come. But beyond the physical need, they give me opportunities to preach to them. Drilling is our means of reaching the community for church planting. We've been burdened for the Moorhead area for a very long time. We've been asking God to send missionaries there, and yet no one has come. God sent us there to drill. We've been there for several months at different times throughout the last couple of years. We've already established a brand new church there. We call it Moorhead Baptist Fellowship. We have about 20 people, and we've applied for land in Moorhead as well to see if we can establish a permanent work. And so now we're faced with an issue. We have a ministry on the island of Daru. We have a ministry in the bush in a place called Weeping. But also we are just filled with a burden for this area of Moorhead, and we are expecting to go. Our people in Daru have wept with us as we've considered the great need, but also the great distance involved. And my wife and I prayed, and we're willing to go, but we're gonna need your prayers. Some years ago, when I voiced this burden to some other people that were serving with Missionary Aviation Fellowship, they cautioned me and were really worried. And they said, Jason, every missionary that goes to this area, their bodies get broken. They leave the field out of sickness. And they said, be very careful. Make sure it's God's will that you go there. And so we need your prayers.
David has a sore on his knee. When he is 2 years old, we're going to show him this video. You goofhead.
So God has given my wife and I 5 children. Libby, Titus. They were just small when we went to Papua New Guinea in 2000. And then while we've been on the field, God gave us Ruth. We thought about Ruth as, you know, she came from another country. And then God gave us 2 more children, Joy in 2006 and David in 2007. We get to teach an hour in 2 different schools on Wednesdays. For the past several years, Joy, even as a teenager herself, has been teaching different grades. And now it's 2025, and Joy and David's time is now finished in Papua New Guinea. Their visas have expired. And now we're bringing them back to the U.S. to continue their life and find God's will for them.
I was born and raised in New Guinea, and my whole life is there. In the bush, I help my dad and Baptist Drillers. They consider me, for the most part, was one of them, and I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
I appreciate what the Lord has done in my life, been able to help my parents in the ministry, getting to know those students and seeing some of them come to our church and get saved, getting to mentor them and disciple them, and we've become great friends. Leaving was hard, leaving PNG, saying goodbye to people. Yeah.
Honestly, our work is, you know, we honestly don't feel like it's anything special because it's just our life is what we do. It's been 25 years since you sent the Russell family to the field of Papua New Guinea. God has saved souls. He's trained men and women for ministry. We've seen churches started. We've seen Christians growing in their faith in the Lord Jesus. We've now seen some of our pastors gone on to heaven. Although the Russell children will not be returning, we're excited about the opportunity to return back to the field of Papua New Guinea. We thank you for your faithfulness. Some of you have been supporting us since 1998, and we're so thankful that you've been faithful.
and thank you for being faithful. This is a training and sending church, and you get missions better than most. And you can understand the burden and passion inside that video a bit. Is that right? That's right. So I want to say thank you. If you find with me in your Bible, the book of John in chapter 21, I'm going to turn this on, see if we can get this to work. John chapter 21, there we go. I must tell you, this is going to seem like a little bit of a judgmental message. Well, me no judge him you pla, spirit blong God by judging you me yet. So you may harim tesona, let him Holy Spirit scale him you me. Did you get what I just said? I think you got a little bit of it. We'll let the Lord do it, huh? We're celebrating, we just celebrated Valentine's, a time that we celebrate our marriages and our love for one another. And my wife and I enjoyed being able to attend a couple's refresher at our home church on Friday night and Saturday morning. We left right after that Saturday midday. And it was a blessing to be able to have somebody else reiterate things that, for the most part, we knew, but said in a different way. And, one thing about preachers is when we hear preaching, we've got to not just to hear the preaching, but then at the same time, we're trying to get ideas for when we preach, huh? And so we're hearing it two different ways. Just like when we read the Bible, we don't just read the Bible, but we read the Bible, and then we're also searching for God's will for the next message. Well, we appreciated being able to attend the refresher, and we're doing our best on this furlough to do things that will strengthen us for the next phase of ministry. And we appreciate to be able to attend that couple's refresher. But this is the month that we celebrate love, and so we've got this question, do you love me? I'm sure Pastor has done this too many times of counseling a family that has experienced one of the greatest hurts that a family can endure, and that is the hurt of adultery, of unfaithfulness. Is that right? Man, how do you recover? How do you recover from that? And it's so painful. Of disappointment, and I mean, adultery is the extreme side of it, but there's also disappointments that maybe a husband may have in a wife, or a wife may have in her husband, and just painful things. And to hear that question, do you love me? You know, how do you answer that question? In John chapter 21, I think I'm going to push this next button. There we go. All right. In John 21 and verse number 15, let's read our Bibles together, John 21 and we would say line number 15, verse number 15. So when they had dined, and I like that part, it's one of my favorite parts right there, that dining part. So when they had dined, Jesus took care of their physical need here. Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, let's say it together, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And we don't know exactly how Peter said it, but maybe the first time Jesus asked a question, he may have said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Just matter of fact. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Let's try to see what happens next here. Boom. You help me out there, brother.
Love.
Here we go.
Golden, do you love? Do I what?
Do you love me?
Do I love you?
Well?
With our daughters getting married and this trouble in the town, you're upset, you're worn out. Go inside, go lie down. Maybe it's indigestion.
No, Golda, I'm asking you a question. Do you love me?
You're a fool.
I know. But do you love me?
Do I love you?
Well,
for 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked your cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now?
Golden, the first time I met you was on our wedding day. I was scared.
I was shy.
I was nervous.
So was I.
But my father and my mother said we'd learn to love each other. And now I'm asking, Golden, do you love me?
I'm your wife.
I know. But do you love me?
Do I love him?
Well?
For 25 years I've lived with him, fought with him, starved with him. 25 years my bed is his. If that's not love, what is?
Then you love me.
I suppose I do.
And I suppose I love you too. It doesn't change a thing, but even so.
Sing it.
After 25 years, it's nice to know.
I watch some of you older people, you still look grumpy. And some of you young people, oh, how sweet. I wanted to bring a little bit of leveling up here with that there. It was getting really serious for a moment, wasn't it? There we go. How about this song? Do we know this song? I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. Do you know it? I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. It happened when I became a Christian and acted like I should. I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. What else do you love? Can you name something? I love boating better than... No, I love Jesus better than boating, and boating is mighty fun. Huh? Anybody else? Let me hear you. The Word. Well, that's too spiritual. I'm looking for something carnal. All right. I love Jesus better than hamburgers, and hamburgers are mighty good. Okay, now we're feeling it. Right. Okay. You know, I find this, that we kind of love in degrees, don't we? Can we compare Jesus to ice cream? Is that comparable?
No.
No, we can't compare that. Can we compare Jesus to boating?
No.
Cannot. How about hamburgers? No, we cannot do that. But how about this? We love ice cream. We love hamburgers. We love all these things. How about we love mom and dad? Do we love mom and dad?
Yeah.
Do we love mom and dad like we love Jesus? It's kind of difficult there. We love God. We love church. We love ministry we are involved in. Love is seen in what truly pulls the heartstrings. There we go. In what pulls the heartstrings? What pulls the heartstrings? Well, that's love, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see that young lady walking by and. I was talking to some, I don't know if they're still in college or not, and they said they were still very single. And we had a bunch of boys hanging around the table outside looking at stuff and, you know, squeezing this little frog, and the frog is making noise. And then there were some other young men over by the coffee table thing over there. And so I pointed to these girls, hey, there's some available. And they looked right past those juniors. And I said, no, the juniors. Oh, no. They're not interested in that. But we love in degrees, and love is found in what pulls the heartstrings. Jesus said, Where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We got some strings going on. So what pulls the strings of your heart? Truly, it's often seen in what we see. Jeremiah said in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth my what? Heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart. You know, Peter had been with the Lord for, well, nearly from the beginning of his ministry. He has seen the Lord's compassion on the lame, the maimed, the halt, the blind, the withered. He has seen the Lord turn water into wine for a wedding. He had heard the Lord's voice invite him to come to him on the water. He was there when Jesus was transfigured on the mount. He saw him cast out devils from sick boys and girls and even men. And when he was there when Jesus rose a woman's son from the dead in the town, the little town of Nain, and again reassured another family that their daughter was only sleeping and not dead, and he received mocking for that. Not forgetting when he called Lazarus out of the grave, Peter was there. He saw all these things. And now he provided there on the shore fish and bread for fishermen on a beach. It was the same Peter that said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will die with you. And when Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. No, I won't do that. You know, Peter knows that Jesus loves him. But Jesus is asking Peter now, do you love me? Let's try this one, boys and girls. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is. Come on. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We learned that as children. How about this one? I love Jesus. Does he know? Have I ever told him so? He would love to hear me say that I love him every day. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I love Jesus because he first loved me. Got all mixed up right there. You know, John reiterated in the book of 1 John chapter 4, we love him because he what? First loved us. Peter, do you love me or these fish right here I just provided for you? You know, maybe Peter was thinking like that. Lord, you know I love you. Man, fish, that's nothing. I love Jesus better than fish, no doubt about it. Peter, do you love me or do you love what I can provide for you? Lord, there's no doubt. This is unquestionable. I love you more than the bread. Peter, do you love me or do you love those other things around? Remember how Peter said, I go a-fishing. Christian, there is a lot in this world to love. But God, through the Apostle John, said, love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. Love not the world. We love in degrees, don't we? Yes. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Well, that's really judgmental, Brother Jason. I know, it's judgmental. John went on to say, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, there is the beauty of nature, but nature is going to go away. There's the fun of sport, but we're going to get older, and we won't be able to do that anymore. There is a challenge of work, but there comes a time when we will not be able to work. All these things are going to pass away, but only the things done in the will of God will last forever. I heard a missionary to the Philippines when we were on deputation. He made this statement, and obviously I've never forgotten it because I'm going to tell it to you now. He made this statement, do something that will outlive your life. What a challenge. Do something that will outlive your life. You saw those churches started. They're running. All of them are running now. They all have their own pastors now that graduated from our Bible schools. And praise the Lord for that. There may come a time when some of those may go down. But the souls that were saved in those churches will never fail. They're going to never go away. It's going to last forever. Do something that will last forever. C.T. Studd made this statement, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will what? Last. You know, Peter felt shame that Jesus was asking him this question. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. No, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Man, I cannot imagine him saying that. I mean, my wife has never said that to me. She doesn't have to say it, just the eyes. Oh. You know, some men, they lavish their wives with jewelry or clothing or all these things to try to show their, prove their love to their spouses. But very rarely is that really the one that they're looking for. They'll take all those things, but they're looking for something else. They're looking for something else to prove that love. Do you think that Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal? Do you think he remembered those words? You know, some of that hating of this life and this world is indeed seen in the lives of missionaries. You know, what we love, is hard to let go of. I've been at too many funerals and seen the tears of a spouse. Oh. I've seen some where we have the coffin in the front and we try to not allow this. In our church culture, they've learned that we're not going to do this outside the church. They'll do this where they'll just, I mean, they'll fall on the ground and they'll lay on top of the coffin and they're just, man, just a mess, especially when children lose a parent early. I mean, I've seen daughters just can't handle it and just shake. And I won't scream at you right now, but you can just imagine the pain and anguish of losing a family member that they loved. Listen, missionaries love food. I mean, I'm talking about home food. I'm not just talking about food in general. I'm talking about chimichangas, I'm telling you. The first thing I got when I came home was a chimichanga, and I'm sad to say I was disappointed, so I'm going to have to try again. One of the last furloughs we took, I think two times ago, I went all around America looking for the best chimichanga in the country. Huh? I found it in Conway, Arkansas. What in the world is that doing in Conway, Arkansas? It should be right here in Southern California. But man, I'm telling you, it was the best. It had just enough guacamole, just enough sour cream, just enough lettuce, just enough that red stuff on top. Oh, and inside was not like soupy, what, shredded beef. No. This was good stuff inside. Are you with me? You feeling me tonight? Man, I love chimichangas. It was on my mind on the airplane coming back. I'm telling you, the first night when we got here, we're going to a Mexican restaurant. I know I'm married to a Mexican, but anyways, let's go try someone else's. It was good. And I was still disappointed, but I was happy to have it. My son loves chimichanga fries. Not chimichanga fries. What? Carne asada fries. Woo! Like, he does this all the time. You didn't like it? I mean, it wasn't enough last time. You got to do it again? You got to do it again. It was good. We love these things. We love our friends. You know, I don't know if this is good or bad, but I don't have very many friends. I don't have very many friends. But I've got a couple that, man, we are just, and here's a strange thing. We don't talk very often. Maybe that's why we're good friends. But my wife could tell you, this is a strange thing that when we finally get back together again, there's just an immediate bond. And he and I, we don't even see eye to eye on many things. But man, there's just this unusual bond where I love him in the Lord. And he loves me. I mean, he would do anything for me and I would do anything for him. Special bonds. Just a couple like that. Man, obviously we love our family. It was the first time I saw my grandson right there. That's Titus's son. First time. We love fellowship, our church there in the background, and some old-time friends and new friends, and it's just wonderful to sit inside your church service again for the first time after being away, and just lovely, just sit and enjoy it. And You know, I'm nervous even in here. When I hear that song that dear lady was singing, I want to stand up and shout. And when the choir was singing, but I'm afraid I might make some of you nervous, you know. And when we got back to our home church and we heard the choir sing, back in the old days at the Lighthouse where the shout had not died out, we'd get up and I don't know why we'd run around. I don't know why we'd do things like that. But, you know, you just want to get up and shout it out. Man, it's great to be back in fellowship again. Man, I love it. Online is good, but there's nothing like being back here again. And obviously the USA, we love the USA with all of her problems. But then people misunderstand. Then how could you leave these things? How could you leave the food that you enjoy in America? I mean, the food we have in PNG, it's dry. You know, no spices. You know, we do have ginger. We can get ginger. We do have ginger. And how about lemongrass? Anybody like lemongrass? It's a nice little thing to add. But my wife, one day, we've got lemongrass we planted in the yard for this purpose to have in our food. But one day we saw our dog was watering the lemongrass. Second thought. So now we planted lemongrass up on top of the compost pile, up where he can't get to it. Hello. You know, but we love food. We don't hate the food in America. We love it. We don't hate our friends. We love our friends. We don't hate our family, even though we say goodbye to them. We love our family. We don't hate them. We just love Jesus better. Sometimes, you know, I'm finding that we're a little different than other missionaries. I mean, we try to be very tight financially, although God has blessed us with great supporters. But we try to be very, very frugal. Because I'm always thinking about that one dear lady who is sacrificing in her missions giving. Sacrificing in her missions giving to support missionaries. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're that person. And we want to be very respectful of that sacrifice. I'm not against people going on holiday, on vacation, but we don't go on holiday when we're on the field. We just stick with it. When we get back to America, we'll enjoy a little time off. Because it's so expensive just to leave where we live. That widow woman doesn't hate her money. She just loves Jesus better. You see, we love all these things, but we must love Jesus more than these if we're going to serve him faithfully. Yeah. Let me ask you tonight, what is pulling the strings of your heart? It's what you're giving to. That's what's pulling the strings. In Papua New Guinea, satellite TV is a new thing. You see this red dish. Digicel is a phone company, but also somehow they get television that comes off of that thing, and you'll see the red dish in places. I'm like, man, how in the world are people affording that? They make money for it. They make money for it. Boy, our missions giving used to be at one level, and then the cell phone company came in, and we saw missions giving take a dip. Man, what happened to our missions giving? Oh, they're supporting Digicel now. Do you get what I'm saying? We love in degrees. What's important to us is what we're going to give to. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yeah, that's right. In Numbers chapter 11, I'll just recount. You'll know the story how the children of Israel had left Egypt. And the Bible says the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all left beside this manna before our eyes." They were struggling with love. They loved all those things. And nothing's wrong with those things. But they loved those things more than God. And they had to learn in those 40 years to change that around and finally see, no, God is providing for us manna every day. How special that is. All we have to do is bend down in humility and pick it up daily. And you know what? On the sixth day, he gives us double. How good of God to allow us to take a day of rest on the seventh day and you know, not have to go out and do all these things. How wonderful our God is. They had to change their love life. Yep. Who do you love better? You know, this is kind of close to home here with you all. In 2016, when we had finished our furlough and we're going to leave Titus and Libby behind, Titus has already got a job and he's out working somewhere. And we were down in San Diego and it was before school was going to start. That's why this time we're going back in September after school starts so we can get them settled before we go back. And we're milling around my wife's parents' house, and we knew the time was coming. We'd rented a van this time to take a trip up to L.A. and by ourselves with all that emotional stuff at the airport. And so we, you know what I'm saying? So we did that, and now it's time to go. And Libby is, of course, we're just all walking around. All we had was Ruth at that time, Ruth and Joy and David. And finally, it's time to go. I said, okay, let's go. Let's pray together. I began to pray, and boy, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm about to leave my daughter. Boy, how's it going to go? I don't even know these people at Pacific. I don't know you. I didn't know you. I'm about to leave my daughter in your care. And I began to pray, and I'm telling you, my heart broke. I've told this story, but every time, Pastor, I tell this story, I still get messed up. But I began to pray, and I don't have a great memory, but I can remember these exact words in my prayer. I said, Lord, you must certainly love those people in New Guinea to ask us to do this. How can we leave our daughter? And here's the answer. I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. Sing it. I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. It happened when I became a Christian and acted like I should. I love Jesus better than ice cream, and ice cream is mighty good. Do we hate our parents? No, we love our parents. I haven't seen my mom in 5 years. I'm going to see her in March. Oh, your son must hate you. He never comes to see you. No, my son loves Jesus more than me. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Yeah. When you send missionaries out, don't get offended. Hey, parents, when your children feel the burning desire and hear the touch of God, hear the call of God to go yonder and leave you behind, don't think they hate you. They just love Jesus better. They just love Jesus better, that's all. Do you love me? Father, thank you for this hour. I'm going to stop here. Lord, I believe you've met with us a little bit. I pray, God, you'd help Pacific Baptist continue to love you better than anything in the world, anything that the world can offer. Help us to love you better. If God's ministered to your heart tonight, I'd like to invite you to come to the altar and take some time. If you're unable, then God really honors a bowed head. A head that's bowed down expresses submission, surrender. I'll encourage you to do that. If there's something clinging in your life that you're really holding on to and don't know how to let go of, why don't you just confess it now and say, Jesus, I do love you better, but I am struggling in this area. And help me to love you more. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to I love Jesus better. Here at the altar tonight, number one, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't understand the love that we have for him. And you'd like to understand more about Jesus. Would you raise your hand and say, missionary, I don't know Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to know him. Is that you? Would you lift your hand now? I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I know I need to. Christian, you're here tonight. And who would say, missionary, truly, I do struggle with my love for Jesus. Would you please, pastor, would you pray for me tonight that I'd love Jesus better? Is that you? Would you lift your hand up tonight? God bless you. God bless you. All of us. God bless you. Pastor, thank you.